is going down, everyone? It's time for MojoBreak.com, the hype, episode number 188. We got a busy week of releases. We've got Tier 1 Baseball, Flawless Football, Crown Basketball, all at MojoBreak.com if you want to get into those breaks. Also want to tell you guys about MojoBreak Shop. We're running a spring cleaning special. MojoBreakShop.com, not to be confused with MojoBreak.com, but MojoBreakShop.com. You want to save 12% off on anything on that site. And there's already some prices that are phenomenal. You can use code SPRINGCLEAN. Once again, SPRINGCLEAN on MojoBreakShop.com. All the newest releases on there, plus a lot of old wax and some already great deals. Use that code. It's for one time only. So, guys, we got some new releases today. What are you guys most excited about between Crown, Flawless, and Tier 1, and I'll start with Dan.
Hey. I'm trying to digest all of them. There was a lot of them. They came in quick this morning. They came in very, very quick.
Mm-hmm. You guys did all three, too, which is...
Yeah, they were... they came in... They were hot and heavy. I guess the most anticipated release was, obviously, Flawless. To say that was my favorite one, I don't know. I think I'm in baseball mode right now. I'm going Tier 1. I'm going Tier 1, Doug.
Tier 1.
Ha-ha.
Nice. C-Rod, are you excited for some kabooms?
Yeah, I was going to say the one that I'm looking forward to the most is Crown Royale. It's kind of asterisk. I'm very curious to see if the Prime Silos are on card with the rookies this year. I mean, maybe you guys can answer that for me.
We didn't get one.
No, I
did. Oh, you did?
I didn't get a Prime. But if the base ones are on card, then the Prime have to be on card.
So it was on card.
So I got a Devin Vassell base that was on card. Now before you relax. I got a lot of redemptions. Redemptions were flying heavy.
Okay.
Heavy, especially for that subset, the rookie silhouettes. Okay. I think I got two of them.
Okay. I know we all hate redemptions in the community, but I will accept them for this release because, you know, it's been a few releases this year where, you know, obviously we've had majority stickers, and I'm like, okay, fine. Like Revolution, for example, was on card before this year. Certified rookie roll call was on card before this year. We didn't get next day autographs this year. Like I'm willing to let some of those slide, but the Crowns, Royal Prime Silo, and the regular silhouette, like if those have to be redemptions to be on card, I'm okay with that because that, you know, RPA is such a pivotal one to have in your collection that I'm willing to wait on those redemptions, but hopefully we don't have to wait long.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain players that I saw as redemptions that I have not seen the whole year. Now, I am assuming LaMelo is a redemption.
Yes, which I was going to bring up a point that that's a concern.
Based on the fact that he's been a redemption pretty much in everything, he's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Off season, he's going to be really tired. He's got a lot of autographs to do. But guys I have not seen be redemptions. Daniel Otoro,
mm-hmm.
redemption. RJ Hampton, redemption.
Mm-hmm.
That's two new guys to a list of players who have already consistently been redemptions. This will be a tough product to hold
long term.
I'm worried about all those basketball releases going forward. If LaMelo's the guy to hunt and he's the guy going forward the next 2 or 3 years, like a la Trae Young, a la Doncic, then we're not going to have autos because they're going to expire. And obviously they can put a redemption in NT, which would suck, but, you know, it's a possibility. What do they do with Flawless? Can't put a redemption in Flawless, right? So I have the theory, you know, as watching Ball in the Family, as a fan of LeVar and all of the balls, Lonzo Ball, LaMelo Ball, I think he's holding out for more money. I don't know. That's just my opinion. I think that he's a star now. He's not signing the rookie deal anymore because Panini has a set price when they're rookies on how much they have to sign.
But he,
and it's weird that he's not signing. So it makes me think.
Man. Like, I have to respectfully disagree on that because the Ball family have been really good about signing.
Yeah. Specifically Lonzo.
Lonzo, LaMelo, LiAngelo has had autos. There's some Leaf autos out there, LiAngelo, and Doug's favorite, LeVar. has had autos.
Mm-hmm. He has.
The whole family is love signing. I don't know, man. I think I think with a weird year with no rookie photo shoot, I think it might have been where LaMelo.
That's hard to
LiAngelo
remember. It's hard to remember.
Available for autographs if needed, probably. Yep.
So instead of the Luka Doncic mom, it's going to be LiAngelo signing the LaMelo cards?
But, yeah, I mean, we don't know. It's been a weird year, so I'm going to give LaMelo the benefit of the doubt, and he will sign all of his redemptions.
Yeah.
But it's going to be like,
I don't know,
a 2 to 3 day process to go through. Like, we're talking probably 12 hours a day.
I'm a Lonzo fan, and they slighted me, Dan and C-Rad. They slighted me because they sent me $1,000 shoes or like $50 shoes. So they obviously value anything that has their name and their number on it higher than, they say, the market.
You know, I don't know about that, because if he would have came out of the gate and those shoes would have gone up in value, you'd have been like, they're great shoes. They're not $50 shoes. They're more like $50,000 shoes.
Well, then they couldn't even send me the case without it cracking. I mean, it was, you know, they wanted the money. They were all about that money, like Antonio Brown.
That was a shoddy product. You know, that was a rushed, shoddy product, the LaMelo Ball signed shoe. And I was with Doug in terms of how worried I was about LaMelo early in the season, like with all the early products and stuff. But now that we've talked about it a few times, like, you know, Dan brings up a good point that Lonzo actually has been signing his Panini autos all this year. So all these years.
True.
So,
but he ain't no LaMelo though. He ain't the talent.
That is true. But if one Ball brother is, you know, fulfilling his contracts with Panini and signing his cards, I would hope that the other brothers would be doing the same thing eventually.
I think we really have to just look at the season as a whole, and look at the fact that there was no photo shoot, and go from there. You know, after now we get into next season and those redemptions haven't been fulfilled, then we can have a conversation.
Yeah, it's a real conversation.
Yeah, then we can be like, uh-oh. Like,
if we get
now
to...
we have an issue, the next season has started.
Yeah.
And we still have outstanding redemptions.
Yep. This is the timeline for me. By the time Flawless hits, which is going to be around October, November, like for 2021, if he hasn't signed any of his autograph by that time, then people should start getting worried.
Because I doubt the Hornets are going to make a long run in the playoffs.
Yeah.
What seed are they? They're close, right?
They're going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
In the East. They're going to be in the playoffs. And luckily, LaMelo should be back by that time, so we will get to see Melo.
I think he's already back.
He's back
ready?
Yeah.
He did like an underhand full court assist.
It was
kind of ridiculous.
It's
amazing.
So I, you know, no worries there. And I'm happy for once actually to hear that Crown Royal has a bunch of redemptions, because that means that they are going to be on card, because we've got six, seven releases where everybody was pretty much a sticker. Origins is the same deal. Like, they do have on card autos, but they're most of them are redemptions.
Right. Well, once again, guys, get in on that spring cleaning at Mojo Break Shop. Save big with the code SPRINGCLEAN, and that is a one-time use only, and it'll expire quicker than you think. So get on there now, mojobreakshop.com, use code SPRINGCLEAN. It's one-time use, 12% off prices that are already lower than major online retailers. We're going to get into some Flawless talk here. Flawless Football, released today, big rookie class, but it's on the heels of the 2021 draft. So we'll start to, it'll be interesting to see what some of these cards go for. As you can see some of the previews here with, you know, Aaron Rodgers' chance at a shield there. Aaron Rodgers, the new Raiders, C-Rad? Is that going down?
As soon as they announce it, bro, move out of my way. I'm buying all the rookie tickets. Okay, maybe not all the rookie tickets, but like a couple rookie tickets.
And, you know, you got the picture of Tua there. So you got a nice mix of vets, legends, chances at shields. Like I said, all the big rookies, diamonds, things like that. 10 cards a briefcase, 2 briefcases per case, so 20 cards total. Just to look at through the years, this is a picture of Vincent Jackson. This was the first year that they had Flawless for football. That was 2014. And last year with Jarrett Stidham for the Patriots, 2019. So you can see not a whole lot has changed from a design standpoint. Do you guys like that Panini kind of stays true to their designs, or would you rather them, you know, go kind of change it up a little bit more than they do?
No, don't change it up. Don't change what works. Don't change NT. Don't change Immaculate. Don't change Flawless. Don't change Prism. Just keep it all the same. I like it.
C-Rad, do you like change?
I like change. I do. Drastic changes, you know, like I would always be on the fence depending on what the product is. So, you know, I pretty much agree with Dan here. I think with something like Flawless, you run the risk if you change it too much of you know, like Flawless collectors being like, what the hell is this, bro? Why is there black backgrounds on my Flawless?
Right. I mean, you know I'm good. I'm good as long as you don't change the contents of the box.
Okay, I see what you're going here.
So, that's a segue. Do I just take it over? Yeah. So this year, and they've done it before, but this year they seems like every other briefcase. So out of a full case, one of the briefcases is going to have an encased relic card.
Uncirculated, baby.
Uncirculated. Generally, sometimes single color relic. Encased, replacing a gem card. Pisses me off.
Are you a big fan?
Hate it.
Hate it?
Don't like it. Actually, hate it. Yeah. Strong word. Not happy about it. I know my opinion doesn't matter. Not happy, though.
So you'd rather have a diamond of Jimmy Garoppolo?
Rather have a diamond of, not Jimmy Garoppolo, anybody, but Jimmy. Derek Carr. Rather have a diamond of Derek Carr.
Hell yeah.
But Jimmy G, I don't collect any backup quarterbacks.
Maybe a Jared Goff diamond? You'd rather have that?
I used to love him. He used to be my man right there. He used to be my guy right there. But no, yeah, I moved on. I'm a Matt Stafford guy.
I'm a Matt Stafford guy. Stafford, let's go.
That's my only gripe. Last year we did include the blockchain, and what I loved about the blockchain redemption that they put in there is that it didn't replace
nothing.
Anything.
Yeah,
right?
It was just a bonus.
So they kept that true. You still get that, and I'm okay with that. I think that's a great added asset to the release.
Mm-hmm.
But taking away a gem card and putting an uncirculated relic, I got a problem with it, Panini. I got a problem.
I was going to say, you know where they've been doing that for years, but it was primarily in Flawless Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
They've always done that in Flawless Baseball.
But different, though, because it would be like a bat relic of
Babe Ruth or something
or like
that.
Ty Cobb
right.
or Honus Wagner.
So you're okay with that, but you're not okay with Tom Brady relic.
No, okay. That's fine. Fair enough. I am okay with a Tom Brady relic. I'm okay with a Aaron Rodgers relic. I'm okay with Patrick Mahomes relic, all that stuff.
Joe Montana.
I'm not okay with a triple rookie relic for the Baltimore Ravens.
What was a triple rookie? Lamar Jackson was on there.
Okay. Triple relic of...
A couple of newer guys who haven't
proven
anything.
Yeah, it was like J.K. Dobbins.
Marquise Brown.
Yeah. And Lamar Jackson. Yeah, don't think that... It can be in the product. It can be in the product, but it does not deserve to be an encased.
Why do you think they did that? Because if they had two diamonds, it seems like that'd be easier for them to do than have to acquire the relics, right?
Well, if you got the relics, you're not going to let them go to waste, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you could put them inside.
No,
the box.
What you do is that you actually increase the print run because now you can stretch out the gems even more.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Okay. I was just like, let's dive into that because usually that type of card would be in the inner box.
Yeah, just dove into it.
But now it's a magnet hit, which is
crazy. Actually, what we didn't tell you before because you haven't opened it yet is the base are now the rubies, so they're numbered to 20. So I actually thought I thought they made more diamonds, but they actually didn't. They made the rubies to 20 and the regular diamonds to 7.
Okay, so the diamonds are more rare.
Yes.
Which actually kind
of makes sense, right?
I like that. However, that's kind of a...
It muddies up the true diamond.
Yeah,
that's
throwing a curveball right there.
That's a curveball because...
That's a little bit of a change. May not change the design, but changing the numbering kind of messes with the lineage and the consistency of Flawless.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, moving forward, if they're going to be consistent now moving forward and they want to make the diamonds a 7, I'm okay with that. That means the
lucky
diamond base
seven.
Card is even more rare.
Well,
than,
but the thing is that what if you're a super collector of Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, right? And you want to collect every single diamond, regular diamond gem throughout every release, right? Well, in past, number to 20. Number to 7, going to be harder to get and more expensive.
Yeah, they definitely changed that up.
And you know how collectors are. They love unity. They love like it to be numbered the same.
Yeah, like, yeah, look at my diamonds throughout the years.
That diamond that's numbered a 7 is going to really, really drive some collectors crazy.
Yeah, especially if you collect your guy every year.
That's some, I mean, and it's true. Like, as a collector, like, I have OCD like that sometimes, too. Like, if it's not uniform, it drives me crazy.
Yeah, you're going to look at that 7 and be like, I know it's, like, harder to get that, but it doesn't match every other diamond. And, I mean, we're looking at – it's safe to say that a Brady would probably have a diamond gem in every year of Flawless.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a handful of players that would probably have.
So now you have to get down to the number 7 or you have a ruby.
Now you got to get down to the number 7 or you got to get a ruby. And there's no way if you're collecting diamond, 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 then you're like, well, I'm just going to get the ruby because it's the same number
right.
or close to it. You're not going to do that. You're going to want the number to 7 diamond.
Let's play an impromptu game of guess that price. So just I grabbed two of the – this is probably the last 90 days, the top-selling Flawless football auto cards.
Oh, I already –
You already looked, okay.
Yeah, because I had to go through the slide.
Okay.
So
I haven't looked, so I'll guess.
Yeah, So if you had to guess, what player or what card do you think was the highest selling Flawless auto in the last 90 days?
The last 90 days?
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
You are halfway correct. The best selling card from Flawless Football over the last 90 days was a 2019 Patrick Mahomes Tom Brady dual auto, numbered 2 out of 5, and it sold for $90,000.
I think I pulled one of those last year.
$90,000.
You may have pulled that one.
Might have pulled that one. Pop one. It got a 9.5 on it. And then a 2015 Panini Flawless Tom Brady Emerald logo patch sold for $50,000. So those are the top two selling Flawless cards over the last 90 days because I love Flawless. I love breaking Flawless, but I don't know where its place is at in the football hobby in terms of you've got the NTRPA, you've got the contenders, you've got the prism. And I think this, I mean, it has the gems and it has some patch autos and shield autos. Those are great and all, but like, where does it find its place? So I did some research on Mahomes. This is a recent Mahomes, right? So a recent Mahomes, rookie, 2017 Flawless. $16,000.
It's not even on the podium, huh?
Seems kind of low.
That's great. That's awesome. But that's not contenders Mahomes for $80,000. That's not NT Patrick Mahomes for $100,000.
You know what, though? That card, it's missing something. What's it missing, Doug?
The rookie card logo.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. It is.
If that had the rookie card logo, I think it would be probably,
you think so?
I think it'd be worth more.
So you think the Herbert like that would go for double because it has a rookie card logo?
I don't know
on it?
About double, but I think it would go for more than that.
So this is, I mean, and this is where I'm actually pro-break on this product because if you look at a major online retailer here, you see the box selling for $12,000, and then you go back to this Mahomes that sold for $16,000.
That was a case.
Right, I'm saying, but if you buy a case,
yeah.
If you buy a case for $13,000 and you've got the money to buy a case, maybe you're not worried about $12,000 at that point, you got the money to buy a case, I feel like your best hope is to get a card that's like this Patrick Mahomes, which is only a couple grand more than the case, right? So how can a Herbert 9.5, number to 20, outsell the guy that's went to two Super Bowls, won one in 3 years, right?
It's missing a rookie card logo.
That can't devalue it that much, though.
It doesn't help it.
You know what? This reminds me of the – this has been something that's been on collectors' mind for a long time, too, because I know I've been thinking about it. In Flawless, right, there's not technically a true RPA.
Right.
Right? Because some subsets will have the rookie logo, mm-hmm. like you're talking about, and some subsets won't, like the one we're looking at on the screen. So it's like, I've always wondered, like, how Panini is deciding that. Because after 8 years of breaking Flawless, I still don't know the answer to that question.
Right.
I actually have, since we're talking about Flawless and you're pulling up some completed listings there, here's something that I've always wondered. Everybody makes a big deal about the uncirculated encased hits,
mm-hmm.
but you're seeing a ton of those cards that are pulled out of the uncirculated Panini magnetic and then being graded.
Right.
Does that affect the value? Does that
I don't remember. Was Patrick Mahomes inside?
But that Tom Brady Patrick Mahomes was graded. That was 100% that was an encased.
Yeah.
So that was taken out of the uncirculated magnetic, with the Panini sticker on it, sealed from Panini, opened up, and sent to Beckett for grading. I mean, obviously, it sold for like 90 grand, so it didn't really devalue it, right?
Right.
But don't we make such a big deal about cards not being that are being uncirculated and not touched?
Right. I honestly would just – I would not even grade it. I would just keep it with the flawless seal.
Yeah.
And not care about a grade because I know it was uncirculated. And to me, that's like opening a toy, right? You know, if you have a toy, you know, that's worth money, then you're not going to open the toy.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing for me. But I get it. You want to get it graded. I mean, I don't know. That was a number to five. That was a real risky move on
I think
part,
the collectors that have been around, like, you know, that we've been around pre-2019, we generally we'll always tell people, like, it's better to keep it in the magnet with the sticker, the Panini Flawless sticker on there, right? But, you know, there's folks who are able to – they want to take the chance of getting it graded. What I know a lot of people do with Flawless, actually – is they send in the encased hit, and then they'll put a minimum grade. Like, if you don't think this is going to grade a 9.5, don't take it out of the case, is
right.
Actually what they tell BGS.
But how could a grader grade a card without actually touching it?
I guess they're looking at the it's a feature that they allow. The
I mean, I think you got to question the grading process yeah. If you're like, well, I can't actually open it up and look at the card, but it looks like a 9. It doesn't move around too much.
You know what?
Yeah, right.
I think you can safely grade everything. I'm talking about subgrades on BGS right now, except the surface if it's encased. You can grade it the centering with being there. You can grade probably the edges and corners.
Yeah.
Because of their white corners and white edges. But the surface is really where you're not going to be able to tell unless you open it.
No,
up.
Right. No. So.
And actually, I forgot to mention, the burrow that I hit, it looks like they reused the case. So that's a whole other element.
Smudgy case.
Smudgy case. Like, there was a couple stickers on the case. So I don't know. I mean, we are in the great top loader shortage and the great magnetic shortage. But Panini, I wouldn't put it past them to just try to get Flawless out to buy some used cases. You know what I mean? Take some of those fat lever autos out of some cases and put in some new Joe Burrow stuff in there, right? So that's another concern is if, you know, what if your case is cracked? Then maybe you do want to grade it, right? Because you don't want to look at that cracked case anymore. But
yep.
So definitely some things to consider. But that's why I'm just trying to find out where Flawless – and Flawless is great. It's a group-breaking product. That's why I wouldn't recommend anybody unless you – you know, unless you're balling out of control and 13,000 is, you know, a couple cents to everybody else, then buy your own case.
Control.
But if you're trying to bank on the fact that you're going to spend 13,000 and try to get 13,000 in cards, it's probably not going to happen 95 out of 100 times. Maybe 5 times out of 100 times you're going to get something that's, you know, it's going to pay for your case or you're hitting that Shield Herbert. I mean, at this point, right, you got to think that the Shield Herbert, once it's pulled – I know we hate to talk about this,
don't
guys.
Say it.
We
don't
hate
say
to
it,
talk
don't
about
say
this.
Don't say it.
But if the Shield Herbert's pulled, it's got a lower boxes, right?
Don't say it.
It has to because there's no number to 20 that's going to sell for more than the box price or the case price.
You would think that that's the case for pretty much every product, but
no. I mean, but when it starts reaching this level of
yeah.
how much it sells for,
yeah.
And you use the data on the Mahomes that sold for 17. And Mahomes is the epitome of what you want. Now, granted, I don't know. Maybe that Flawless rookie autos that I showed of Mahomes isn't the most desirable out of that set, but it's concerning if it's only worth $5,000 more than a new case for a guy that's won a Super Bowl and went to another one in 3 years of playing. So that's all I'm saying. That's why group breaks make the most sense with this product, but I'm still trying to find – we're still trying to find the home for Flawless.
It's crazy that you're talking about this, and I get it, and you're speaking the truth, but this is the highest and most expensive release every year for this
yep.
category, football category. And as far as value, box per box, it's not even on the podium. It's not even bronze.
Right, right.
It should be gold, right? Based on the price point, you should be like, this is the tippy top. This is as good as it gets. The creme de la creme.
Right.
And the prices should reflect that as well. But this is one of those weird instances where it doesn't. Same thing with Flawless Baseball.
Yeah.
There is a lot of products that sell for more than Flawless Baseball.
But Flawless Baseball doesn't have a license, as we know, right? So that
true,
changes it a little bit.
But would you consider Flawless Basketball on the podium?
Yes.
Yep.
But probably not tippy top, right? Not
no,
number one.
No.
I think National Treasures would probably be considered
NT's
number one, right?
Yep.
So you would go NT number one.
Prism second.
Prism two and Flawless three.
Yeah.
So Immaculate is off the podium now,
Immaculate's
right?
Off, yeah.
So Immaculate's off.
I don't know, but you got the Immaculate. I mean, Immaculate has a home, though. It has the acetates. It's got the shoes. It has the shoe cards. The
for,
one
basketball,
one
yeah. For basketball,
yeah. For basketball.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, I guess Immaculate football.
But basketball, you can't. The podium's only got gold, silver, and bronze, so somebody has to be out.
Yeah.
So, Immaculate out, but, Flawless out.
Flawless
for basketball.
And that's where I think I know, like, it brings back to what I said earlier, where we said, you know, no changes to Flawless. I almost feel like, you know, when this was created, which was created for 12-13
basketball,
and it was, I mean, at that time, it was like unheard of. We didn't think we were going to be able to sell it. And the diamonds were cool and they were new. Well, we've had almost 10 years of that same kind of design.
But they have changed. They have changed basketball.
They've added the logo, man.
Well, yeah. Have they always had shields in Flawless football? I don't think so.
I think
when they came with Logo Mans in the basketball line, they also came with shields in the football line. You also have like the logo gem cards. I think they have those in football. I don't know if they have those in basketball, where it's like the team logo with all the gems.
Yes. Yeah.
They definitely have it in basketball collegiate.
Yep.
Well, let me ask this. This is going to be a hard one for C-Rod to answer.
Yep.
If you had $6,000,
mm-hmm.
would you buy a box of Flawless football or a case of Impeccable football?
This
I know you love Impeccable.
This is not hard. Yeah, it's the three box case of Impeccable.
But that has a home because it has the silvers, right?
It's just a dramatic pause.
Yeah.
Just for the dramatics.
it's like for all the audience to be like, oh, I thought he loves Impeccable, bro. So yeah, everybody knows I was gonna pick Impeccable. Yeah, 6K. Yeah, Impeccable is all the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're gonna get a little bit more value out of that, and you're guaranteed yourself, especially if you're buying a Flawless briefcase. You're not getting the guaranteed best hit out of the case, right?
Exactly.
But we're Impeccable, you're guaranteed that metal card, which signifies Impeccable, which Impeccable's found a home, right? Impeccable football has found a home.
So, like, what we're talking about right now with you saying, like, Flawless football not having a home, when the basketball category is completely different, Flawless basketball has a home.
Yes.
Like, we know what people are collecting in Flawless, and it's always – it's on the podium, like we were saying. Flawless football, yeah, it's kind of a – it's the highest-end product, but it's not NT.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But there's obviously contenders and all these other football SKUs that their rookie cards sell for more than a auto.
Then I get back and I'm all, how is everybody justifying the price tag then? If we literally are just saying, like, this is a very nice product. This is a fun rip. It's a great group break product. But it's not the best value. Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
Straight up?
I mean, you're going to have to pay attention to, like, the...
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, we are
going to have to pay attention to what comes out of it.
We are trying to sell product at some point, right?
No, not at all. Hold on to a word. I'm just saying, like, more of them.
Get your Flawless root break spots later on today and all through the weekend.
Well, my whole point was that the box price is too expensive for people. I think...
No, it's a group break.
It's a group break product.
It is a group break product. I think it was made to be a group break product. For all categories, actually.
Yep. Yep.
And you could actually make an argument that 70% of the products that are produced today are probably better digested in a group break setting than opening up personal boxes or personal cases.
Right, right. And then I was wondering, you know, this hobby has ADD. I consider myself not self-diagnosed ADD. What does this do to...
Doctor?
What does this do to the 2020 rookie class? These dudes just got drafted. Big hype. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Field, and the great GOAT, Trey Lance. What does this do for are people already past the 2020 rookie class?
Don't forget Leatherwood.
Who? Cricket drop. You mean the guy was supposed to be a fifth rounder?
No, third rounder. No, okay.
Why is he not on that? Why is he not on that freaking slide, dude?
Couldn't fit him on that slide. But I was saying is I think people might be like, you know, people aren't probably moving past Herbert, maybe not Burrow, but maybe if you're like, hey, I was collecting Hurts, but now, you know, hey, maybe I'll get the Jaguars. I'll try to go for Lawrence, or I'll try to go for the Jets and get Wilson, or the Bears now have hope. Bears fans are already looking past, you know, the wasted years of Trubisky, and now they've got Fields they've got hope in their eyes. Mm-hmm. So I mean, and you can see it here. This is crazy. So select.
Yes.
2020 select.
People got onto it quick.
Has the XRCs, right? So yep. Which means it's going to be the first select rookie card of these new guys. You would imagine what a gold QB1 sold for, $19,000 for a gold number 10.
We shouldn't be doing any more select breaks.
Jaguars are $79.
We should just hold
on. Oh, wow.
Oh. Oh. Ah.
Don't worry. I raised them up. But they were 79.
For candlelight breaks coming to you soon.
But somebody's
can't
willing
keep
to pay
the lights on anymore.
Somebody's willing to pay $19,000 for this.
That's
and the number two pick,
a lot too.
$13,000 for gold.
Yeah,
yeah.
These are just cards. There's no auto on them. They're gold. They're number 10. There's only 10 in existence. But that's a lot of dough for these two guys. So, and then you've got, I think you got about a month before Prism Draft comes out. So I'm saying are we already moving past? I mean, we move past – a lot of people move past Zion and LaMelo, which I think Zion's a better talent than LaMelo.
Zion
off. But those products, those Prism products were higher than the year before with Zion. So it's just craziness.
You know what I'm looking forward to, Doug? I'm looking forward to sitting in this chair next year, flawless 2021's out, and I want to see your reaction to the price of 2021 flawless next year.
It's going to be
$10,000 a briefcase. $10,000 a briefcase.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable guess.
$20,000 a case.
$20,000 a case.
Oh, why are you laughing? Think it's funny? It's not funny. You think it's a joke?
Doug's smart to leave Mac Jones off of that. Yes, Mac Jones. I don't know why people thought the Niners were going to get Mac Jones. I mean,
because he's the most professional quarterback.
SB says, who's the fault of this? Gary V with Luca or Vegas Dave with Mike Trout?
Vegas.
Who's
Dave.
The fault? I think
it's Vegas Dave.
We
it's always Vegas Dave.
We cannot as a hobby, we cannot pinpoint the wrongs and the rights of the hobby to one person. It's, you know, obviously there's people that with a lot of influence and sway that they can influence a lot of people, but they're not going to influence the entire community.
I mean, look, I'll quote the great Vegas Dave. In the next 45 years, at some point, the sports card trading market is going to dip.
In the next 45?
The next 45 to 47 years.
The next 100 years. At some point, we'll have a little bit of a dip.
At some point, there will be a dip.
Crash.
No, not going to crash. It's going to dip. It's going to go a little bit lower at some point in the next 45 years.
And so
lock it down.
For everybody in the chat, out of these first round guys, I know I don't have some of them listed. I know Mac Jones went to the Patriots. And you had, you know, Lamar Chase going over to the Bengals. You had some big draft picks in this first round. Who are you collecting? Leave your comments in the chat as well as the Mojo Break Media channel, which where this video will be. I want to know who you guys are collecting. Are you guys going in on Trevor Lawrence? Are you guys going in on Wilson? And Dan, who do you think has the brightest future here? Trey Lance, right?
No. I think the Niners, and I'm not hating. I think the Lance pick, I get it. It was it's a high risk. It's a high risk, high reward type of pick. I think if I was a Niners, I would have probably preferred Justin Fields. If I was a Niners fan, being Ohio State, going against high caliber programs, still a dual threat. That's who I would have probably wanted to see if I was a Niner fan.
Lance?
I'm not a Niner fan. I don't care. Trey Lance could be the next Achilles Smith for all I care. It doesn't matter to me. I don't want the Niners to be good. I'm sorry, Doug.
No,
because in the same division.
Yeah,
it's like
C-Rad wanting.
If
like,
anybody, I shouldn't care who the Niners are.
Yeah, it's like C-Rad being like, I really hope that Chiefs just win the next 10 NFC West titles. Just looking forward to it.
But has, I mean, going into what we're going into with the 2021 season,
yes,
this has got to be the biggest draft class we've seen during breaks, right?
I will say,
yes,
the Absolutely. Niners, out of all the teams that got a top quarterback, the Niners will be the hardest team to buy and the most expensive team in the PYTs. And it's not just because of Lance.
Right.
It's the fact that the Niners also have the veterans and the legends and the lineage that are always good. The Niners could not even have a rookie premier guy in a general release calendar, and they still sell.
Yeah.
They have a diehard fan base, a diehard collecting fan base, and, again, they have the Jerry Rices and the Roger Craigs and the Steve Youngs and the Joe Montanas that they can pull from. So there's always going to be value. So
and they're going to have at least two rookie premier guys because you know the third-round running back at Ohio State will be in there too.
Sermon?
Sermon, yeah.
Yeah, so he'll be in there.
From EPMD.
So the Jags, they're going to have two rookie premier guys.
Yep.
Because they got the running back as
well.
Two first rounders. The Patriots, again, like the Niners, they have the lineage that they can pull from.
But they started to go down from group breaks, though, because there wasn't like a guarantee of a Tom Brady being on the Patriots because he has a chance of being on the Bucs now, right? So, you know, but you still have those older Tom Brady cards that people go after.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots still always sell, right? And then you got the Bears, and the Bears also have a lineage. They also have a lot of vets that you can pull from. So
in terms of group breaking wise, it's going to be crazy.
Because you had the Jaguars and Jets who typically don't sell in breaks, right?
So they needed the boost.
They need the boost.
But like Patriots, Niners, Bears, they usually have a decent vet checklist.
Yeah, get ready. It's going to be a challenge for everybody involved.
It's going to be a challenge
it's gonna
for
be,
us.
It's going to be a substantial challenge for us getting product already ready for it. It's going to start with the draft products. Our allocation is going to be laughable.
Score comes out next week.
And we make fun of the Prism draft, right? Huge checklist. The Contenders draft, huge checklist, right? Like we've talked about there's got to be 150 players on these checklists, right?
Yeah.
I bet our allocation is absolutely laughable.
It will be.
I bet we get less than 5 cases total of those two releases.
I hope not.
Well, in other news, I know everybody's everybody's wondering about the National.
Is it canceled?
And the newest news, which it sheds some light, gives people some hope. So the decision to have the National is going to come down to June 1st, whether they're going to have it or not. As you can see here, there's a group
of people.
They
want to have it on June
1st. You probably won't have this kind of line for this year's National.
What? Wait, what?
Is it in June 1st, or they're going to make a decision on June 1st?
They're going to make a decision. It's still at the end of July for as of right now.
So they're going to let you know, but you still – people have to travel.
Well,
you have to have accommodations.
Hold on a second.
It's your fault.
Hold on.
It's all your fault, Doug.
So, no, the reason why there's some hope – is so the state of Illinois, which if any of you guys are Illinois people in here, maybe
beautiful,
you can add to this.
State.
As of last week, did not allow large gatherings of people yet, with COVID restrictions.
There won't be that many people.
But in July, they're having a Chicago Auto Show, which has been given the green light. So, but the Chicago Auto Show, half indoors, half outside. So I don't think you can do that with the National, but it did at least shed some light that there may be a National here. I'd say we're probably about 70% going to have one. That if I was a betting man.
Why can't you do half indoors and half outdoors?
Where are they going to do it? At the Donald Stevens Center.
Parking lot. Somewhere.
Hey, real quickly.
It has to be a parking lot, dude. You could set up outside. I mean, I ain't going outside.
Yeah, you want to be outside?
I'll go outside. I'm not setting up, though.
Hey, real quickly, though, Doug, also, because there's so many new people in the hobby, just quickly tell them what the National is, too.
Yeah. If you haven't heard about the National, it's the largest convention of the year. It's tables upon tables of people not only selling singles, Panini's there, Upper Deck's there, Topps is there, all that, like, a ton of athletes signing stuff. I mean, it's the biggest convention of collectors every year. So last year was supposed to be in Atlantic City. It was postponed. This year it's in Chicago, slated for the last week of July into the first week of August. And as of like last week, the state of Illinois was saying that they are not holding large gatherings yet. But like I said, I think we have a little bit of hope with the Chicago Auto Show happening in the state of Illinois. And that'll kind of probably be the test run, and they may give them the green light. So I heard they are waiting until June 1st, the latest they can wait, to let you know if they're going to have it or not. Now, I know that's really close, but I think they're just waiting for the health department in Illinois to make a decision on if they're going to have it or not. I mean, this year will be huge. There's been a lot of build up of this event because we didn't have it last year. I mean, we're seeing shows in the Bay Area that have lines out the door. We're seeing Dallas shows that are wall to wall of people.
I was just going to say that.
There's a lot of demand for this event. And there's people. I already have my hotel room. Me and Dan have our hotel rooms ready. So we already booked our hotel rooms. And the major hotels are already booked.
My question, though, is going into this with this type of concern, if you were putting on the national, why wouldn't you pivot to a state like Florida or Texas where there's a little bit less restrictions and you wouldn't have as much like red tape to go through? I mean, again, I'm not,
because I think that I don't they know have the li- to fulfill know, because don't they, don't the wanna, they don't want to they don't want to piss off the guaranteed money to Chicago. They don't want to piss off the Donald Stevenson Center and whoever runs that. So you can't just like say, hey, peace out, guys. We're going to Florida this year. So I think the—
No, I mean, if any year that you actually could do that and say, hey, last year we weren't able to put on our biggest event that we put on every year, we need to be sure that we can do it this year. You got to understand.
No, I think the play is October. If they can't do it, they're going to push it to October.
I get that, but I'm pretty sure that the weather in October in Illinois is slightly different than the weather in August.
I get that. But I think that they have their hands tied at the moment where they can't just pivot to another. They have people that have bought booths there. They have people that have bought hotels already. They can't just say, like, hey, cancel everything you got going and go down to Florida.
A play would have been, like, somebody getting together and doing, like, another national, maybe calling it something different, and doing it in Florida or
just in case.
That's what I was just going to say. What's interesting that's happening in the hobby right now is that, like, the shows you were just mentioning, not necessarily the Bay Area ones, but the ones in Dallas and stuff, these shows are getting bigger and bigger.
Oh yeah,
with way more demand than there's ever been, and they're putting these on monthly, bro. This is not like a yearly thing where like, oh, it's like let's just go like, you know, Dallas. They're putting on their shows every month, and it's like sold out, and it's like huge amount of people that go to them. Like, what? How long before something overtakes it? I mean,
we talk about. There's a lot of people in the hobby who are always looking for a way to get their foot into the door. Like, how can I either have a side hustle or get involved in the hobby and make it my living? If you want to know something that you can do right now that has a huge demand,
card shows.
Put on card shows.
Yeah.
Put on card shows in your town where you live. You could even travel a little bit. There is a lot of money and a lot of demand for putting on card shows right now, especially because there hasn't been any for the last year and a half.
Well, here's also though, like, do you think they have to green light like no capacity restrictions, right? Because can you imagine, we've seen the Bay Area show that they threw and they had to have restrictions on how many people they could have in there, which I believe was like 80 to 100 because it wasn't a big room. Now I know the National's huge, but can you make lines of people wait outside for 3, 4, 5 hours at a time if you have capacity requirements? So you're going to have to probably, I mean, allow, I, you're going to have to allow 100% capacity.
I get it, but I I'm not a big fan of crowds. So like, it might be a little refreshing, be able to stretch out, not run into
No,
it,
yeah, yeah, for that. But are you going to want to, what if you got, you don't get there early enough and you're in line for 4 hours?
I think we get passes.
We may not have that problem. And yes, SB's asking if we're going to be at the National. We will be there as long as they have it. But I'll be don't know. I don't know if they're going to have it. So, yeah.
Probably won't be doing any breaks there. I think we're going to do just content, right?
Just content.
We're not there, doing any breaks there.
Just sit there and talk right into the microphone.
Yeah.
This year. Pretty much. Yeah, this year I'm planning to go for like at least 2 days, bro.
You're not going to go for 14 hours?
Let new cat do the
Would it be blasphemous? I know, and I'm not getting political here, but would it be blasphemous to require vaccinations or COVID tests to go in.
I don't know.
Place.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's tough. I don't know. I don't talk about that.
Because that's what they're doing around here.
I have no opinion.
I'm going to a Sharks game. I got to have a test or I got to be vaccinated to go to a Sharks game on Saturday. So
I'm going to.
But that's California. Illinois is a little different. So
I'm in the same boat. It's kind of a moneymaker, right?
To the test?
Yeah. $50.
$50
to get that test if you want to get right in. Now, they do have free test, but you got to show up like a day before the game at like a specific time.
Right.
But that, I mean, I don't know how much a test costs to perform. I mean, you always have to pay people to perform the test. They need to get paid, but.
And Chris asked.
$50 seems like kind of a lot.
Chris asked, do you think TriStar will have a big show? Kelp says, does TriStar still have a big show? And then Chris asked, do you think TriStar will have as many signers?
I don't think so.
There's probably going to be a lot of guys that are just
I think we're not going to see – if this national does happen
– less signers.
It's not going to be like a typical national that if you've been to one, it's going to be completely different. I actually think it's going to be different for multiple reasons. I think there's going to be a fraction of the TriStar signers. I also think there is going to be maybe no Panini VIP party. I can see that not happening.
Which would be really sad.
It would,
actually. Well, I mean, I could actually see that for a couple of reasons. One, it's going to be tough to get the restrictions passed where you can find a venue to allow people to come in. It's like the same issue that the Nationals happening right now. And getting players
to want to
come hang out is going to be difficult. And the other thing is that it's usually packaged with a deal with product. Well,
that's three things that it's been damning it.
I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the industry's been a little hot.
Yeah.
been a little hot.
There's no leftover anything.
There's no leftover anything. Like you can't I remember part of the packages would be blasters
stuff
and
that
mega
they generally
boxes
couldn't sell.
And, stuff that you know, I would call it the sweepings of the Panini warehouse. It'd be what do we got left? Let's see what we got. And that would be the VIP package, which now you look at that stuff.
There ain't no sweepings.
It was amazing, right?
Yeah.
But there is nothing. No There's sweepings. Nothing left. So
stickers?
What? No, I don't think so.
I don't.
Fortnite's allocated, hard to get. So what could you possibly buy in order to get in,
you're right, man.
Unless they determined based on I could see this first off the line purchases. They have a list, and that is how you get in. Most spend with direct Panini sales. Think about that. That could be it, right?
Could be.
You know.
So we'd be in.
I'd Maybe. Be in.
Yeah, you'd be.
It comes from my account.
That's
so.
True.
Yo, what?
I'm going.
Damn,
who knows?
The 3 points you just brought up, make it seem like, yeah, it's very highly. Look, the only one, as long as there could be restrictions anywhere. As long as there's no restrictions in that club, bro, so I'm gonna really be
asking about it. There's probably some, but I think that'll be open.
Well, let's pivot to the last topic, which is 2021 Bowman. I wasn't here.
That came out.
I was in Maui. It came out. You guys ripped it. There was a few early sales of some cats, which nobody's ever heard of, but they sold for a lot of money. Yoelki Cespedes Gold Refractor sold for $7,000. And somebody by the name of Maximo Acosta.
Ooh, Maximo.
Sold for $7,000.
The Brewers, right?
Rangers.
The Rangers.
Yeah, that's what you meant. See, that's what I'm saying. Who
knows? Am I the only one that opened them? You opened up a crap
ton. I opened up a lot of it, but hey, man.
And Austin Martin, who's apparently Redemption, and Orange sold for $9,000.
Orange Austin Martin.
Austin Martin sold for $9,000.
The true orange.
Yes. Mm. Orange refractor parallel.
Daddy's orange.
So what did you guys think? Walk me through Bowman Day, and was there any differences with Bowman this year compared to the last couple years of Bowman?
Okay. I'll start.
Yep.
I liked it. This is Bowman. You know what? Actually, I really, really, really like this year's design.
Absolutely.
I think the design is amazing. I think it's the best design they've had in about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I give them credit on that. Again, when you're ripping it, we don't know who we're going to be chasing. It might be 3 years from now when we look back and we're like, that 2021 Bowman release was loaded.
Yeah.
Or in 3 years, we can look back and go, man, that 2021 Bowman release was, that checklist was terrible. There is nobody to chase. We don't know. So come at me 3 to 4 years, and we can really talk about how this release is and how it held up.
I guess that is the tough part about talking about Bowman in general, right? It's just you never know which of these guys is gonna pan out. In terms of the guys that people are chasing right out the gate, Austin Martin, obviously very, very tough. He was very tough to pull.
Redemption.
But I was pulling a lot of Maximo. Not a lot, but I was pulling a decent amount of Maximos. I was pulling
for
a
Brewers.
Decent amount of Yoelki. And who else? Who's that guy?
Yoelki.
Austin Martin.
No, not Austin Martin. The guy on the Blaze Jordan. I was pulling a decent amount of Blaze Jordan.
I pulled some Blaze Jordan.
Yeah.
So have you guys, either of you guys, gotten an Austin Martin redemption?
I have one.
Okay. Base?
Base.
Okay. I did. You know what? I did get some non-autos, but I did get a couple reds.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I got a couple reds. I got a Casey Mize red.
Because, I mean, you're basically looking at now, for a hobby, you're paying three. I mean, I know you get base cards and there's chance of colors and everything. But in essence, you're paying $300 an auto, right? And you're paying, in jumbo, you're paying about $200 an auto. So, I mean, this year definitely feels like it's the most, like, there was Jason Dominguez last year.
The thing about, like, so last year we had Dominguez
and Witt,
Bobby Witt, and Powassan, right?
Yep.
And it took a while for that product to get to $300.
Yep.
This is kind of the new norm. I just feel like there's no gradual increase in box prices. It just goes to the ceiling right away.
Yep.
And then if the market dictates that it can stay there, it will stay there, but it won't increase past that, but it could go down.
Right.
It's a lot easier to start high and then move lower.
Yep.
Than to start low, sell a bunch of it, and then go high. So that's what you're seeing.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's all based on hype, right? So DP says Sabato is another guy that everybody seems to be chasing.
Yeah, I didn't pull a lot of Sabatos either. I think
that was my first auto.
Yeah, Sabato's a tough one to pull too. But yeah, I mean, you were pulling the. I was able to get the guys, you know, that people are looking for. What's funny is that, like, to Dan's point, is like those guys probably are not even going to be the guys that people are going to want in 3 years. You know, so those are the guys that you chase right now, and you know, are not the guys you're probably going to be chasing in 3 years, to be honest.
Was there any kind of an interesting inserts or anything you guys seen that was any different?
You know
from
what?
Any other years?
They added the Canary Refractor to this year's Bowman, which threw me off because
it should be numbered at 3.
Yeah, there's a yellow Canary that's to 79, and then there's a green Canary.
Yeah, and then there's also a magenta.
There's
refractor
to
199.
Yep, yep.
Tell me more.
There. Yeah. Okay. Look. They made more, right? Like, we're not going to speculate.
Is it like draft?
Like, hey, I don't know. Maybe they made more. They 100% made more this year.
More prints order.
Yeah.
More orders, right?
More orders. You got to keep up with
the man. Now, with Jumbo, were you still pulling, like, the one base auto and then two colored autos, kind of like draft, or was it different?
I felt like I was getting generally more color in hobby than I was getting in Jumbo. But
yeah.
I could have been just
and orange on a run. Is true. Orange is still only in hobby, right?
Orange is only in hobby.
Okay.
But, I mean, the refractors. I mean, I remember back in the day, you get blue, and that would it. That would be it, right?
Yeah.
Blue,
red,
and it would be
gold.
Yeah, but it would
regular
be
regular refractor.
No shimmer, right?
No shimmers.
Now you got the every color has like either a canary version of it, or they call it. It's not canary. It's mini diamond is what they're calling that refractor.
Ooh,
it's the green mini diamond and the yellow mini diamond. So that's what they call it. It's not canary. But there's just so many different subsets of refractors that used to be the standard that they're just making a lot of it. That used to be the saving grace, is that there was guaranteed odds of specific refractors and autographs. And now you have so many different colors and variations of those colors that the production's to the moon.
Well, and don't forget, we got the new product for Bowman Chrome called Bowman Chrome Light, which is coming out, which has no autos.
This
or
fall,
harder,
right?
Harder chances to get autos.
Well,
so that'll be for the parallel people. You got what you wanted. You got a parallel baseball product.
Bowman. It doesn't translate to baseball.
Not yet.
That's one thing that we've already talked about. Like, the parallel collectors in baseball are not there yet.
It's getting close. I mean, you see those Series 1 and those update cards and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true. What about the super factor of Louie Bobby that we always talk about? That was a base that sold
Lou Bob, who's out for the year.
Yeah.
He's out for the year.
But his card, that card sold for like 40 grand or something.
Yeah, it was a base.
It was super factor.
I bet the – and that was a non-auto, right?
Non-auto.
Bet that person's sad right now. $40,000. I mean, he was hitting over 300.
Roll the dice.
But I think roll the dice. Like, I think he only had like one or two bombs. So the power took a dip, and now he's out for 3 months, I think. 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, and Eloy's out too. Sorry, White Sox fans. Sucks. Well, that's pretty much all we got for the show today. Once again, use that code for mojobreakshop.com, which is our sealed box site. We deliver products right to your door. You can do your own breaks, see what you
get.
Personally. use code SPRINGCLEAN for 12% off anything on mojobreakshop.com. It does not work for mojobreak.com, so I don't want to get an email saying I tried to buy the Colts and Flawless and I couldn't use that code. It doesn't work on mojobreak.com. Only works on mojobreakshop.com. Use code SPRINGCLEAN for 12% off, and that's a one-time only. So you can load up. You're looking to get some boxes and you get some gifts maybe for Mother's Day. Maybe your mom's into the new Bowman. Use that code, and you can save 12% off, and one-time only. Load up. And there's a lot of stuff on the site. I think I just lowered Prism First Off the Line. Football were lower. I think it's like $200 lower than any other website out there. And then you can use that code, and then you can become a flipper. Why not? Try it. MojoBreakShop.com. But if you're into breaking, if you want to break flawless, if you want to break tier one, you can go to MojoBreak.com, and our schedule is on the right side of the site if you're on your computer, and it's on the bottom if you're on mobile. I believe we're running a free break through Twitter and Instagram as well, so get in on that. Gabe is running a Chronicles football break, which we didn't even talk about. We didn't have time to talk about Chronicles.
Chronicles H.
Supposedly amazing.
Chronicles H2.
Yes, we're doing Chronicles H2, but I heard the Chronicles product in general has been pretty good.
Fire.
Stellar.
Fire. Fire.
Stellar product.
And it says fire. Fire. So, all right, that's it for the show, guys. You guys have a good one. We'll be back live here with some more breaks, so don't go anywhere. And peace out.